Genesis chapter number 40, please. Tonight, as we look at this text of Scripture, we know from last week that Joseph was thrown in prison, totally did nothing wrong, but was thrown in there anyway, and falsely accused. C.H. McIntosh says about these two chapters, in chapter 39, Satan uses Potiphar's wife, and in chapter 40, he uses Pharaoh's chief butler. The former he used to put Joseph into the dungeon, and the latter he used to keep him there, through his ungrateful negligence, but all in vain. God was behind the scenes. His finger was guiding all the springs of the vast machine of circumstances. And when the due time was come, he brought forth the man for his purpose and set his feet in a very large room. What a powerful thought. We get to see the story, and we get to say, yeah, but I know what's about to happen. This is to get really good, you know. Joseph didn't have that. He was 17 when he was sold into slavery, and somewhere around the age of 30. So for 13 years, he was either a slave in a house or in prison, not knowing when it was going to end. We can read the story of Job, and we know the end, but Job didn't know that end and didn't know how long it was going to last. Our daughter Sarah sang a song and then sent Lisa and I the words to a beautiful song. As far as I know, it's a fairly new song. I've not heard it sung before. The chorus of the song says this: while you wait in gracious wisdom, referring to God, while you, God, wait in gracious wisdom, and my doubts begin to rise, I recall your loving kindness and lift my hopeful eyes. While your hand withholds the answer, I will not withhold my heart. I will love you in your silence. I will trust you in the dark. You know, Joseph must have been thinking, Lord, what is going on? And in this story, he finally gets a break. This guy is going to get out of jail, and he's going to go back and tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh of all people, that I helped him get out of jail. No, he didn't. 2 full years, the guy forgets. I can imagine, Joseph is human. We talked a little bit about that last week. He was an incredible man of faith, but he was human. I can imagine as that chief butler walked out of the prison cell and Joseph said, don't forget me, and he walks out, Joseph is expecting fairly quickly for them to turn around and come get him. Day after day after day, week, months, years, thinking, he totally forgot me. By the way, from a human standpoint, that's a pretty low thing to do, wasn't it? how could you forget the guy? It seems almost impossible that he did that. But in the midst of trial, our focus must be on God, not on man. Joseph had to put his focus on God. You know exactly what you're doing. Man may fail me. Well, let's just pull out the may. Man will fail you. It's guaranteed. And in this case, it was the butler. And when we get to the next chapter, it's ironic to me where he goes, I remember my fault this day. It's almost like, really? 2 years you left the guy in jail By the way, he's fisting to be your boss. That ought to have been real intimidating to him, right? How God works through that. I want us to just quickly look at this chapter. First off, we'll see the scandal, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. It's interesting. The word offended here is translated 188 times as sin. It's the miss the mark. That's what the word means in the Hebrew text. It means to miss the goal or the right path or the duty. So we're not sure what these men did. I suspect personally that there was something that happened and he kind of did an investigation, put them in jail until he could figure out who was really guilty, but that's a total suspicion on my part. There's nothing in the text that tells us that per se. But they're in jail for a few days, it appears, and then one of them is restored and one of them is hung. We can assume that the one restored was not guilty and the one that was hung was guilty, though that may not be true either, but nevertheless. Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued to season and ward. Again, it's interesting to me that this process unfolds. But what is amazing about our God is God can use anything to accomplish his purpose. Anything. What an incredible God we serve, that he can orchestrate the details to bring about exactly what he wants. God could have done it any way he wants to, but he puts the butler, though he forgets for 2 years, he puts the butler where Joseph could eventually be in a position. And by the way, the butler just didn't meet Joseph, but he actually had a dream that Joseph interpreted that he would need 2 years later when he goes, ah, there's actually a guy in prison I was supposed to tell you about. He can interpret dreams. You might want to get him. Well, thanks. Why don't somebody go get him out of jail, please, you know? But God had orchestrated all this together just exactly how it needed to be. And so in the midst of even what we would call difficult times, God is using it for his purpose. But we see number two from this text, we see the service. Does it strike you in verse 4? It says, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. Oh, wait a minute. These guys are in jail. Joseph is in charge of them. Shouldn't they be serving him? That's not what happened. It is Joseph's character. And we mentioned this a little bit last week, but it is so true. It is his character, no matter where he is, to serve people. I'm convinced he could have easily hired someone else to sell all the grain. But Joseph was selling it. He could have easily hired somebody else to do it. But he's the one that's there. It was just a part of his character. No matter where he was, no matter who he was around, he was going to serve people. Alexander McLaren says, many young people nowadays do nothing because they think themselves above the small humdrum duties that lie near them. It would do some of us good to remember Joseph in the jail and his cheerful discharge of what his hands found to do there. What a powerful illustration for us. Joseph just decided to serve where he was at. Not to grumble or complain about where he was at, just simply to serve. Do you serve others or look for ways for people to serve you? Our tendency is to find out how someone else can serve us rather than for us to serve them. But I want us to see number three, and this too is shocking to me, but I want us to see the sensitivity. Now, Joseph is in jail, don't forget. He's serving these guys. He's got issues. I mean, there's all kinds of problems going around. I'm sure at the forefront of his mind is, I shouldn't be here. I was illegally charged. I shouldn't even be in Egypt. How do we know that? Well, he says that eventually. Hey, by the way, when you get out of here, could you tell Pharaoh I was sold from here? I'm illegally here because of a false accusation. I shouldn't even be here. But Joseph is not concerned with himself again. We see a sensitivity here in verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of these men that are in prison, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Number one, why does he care? Well, he does care. That's amazing. And number two, he's not concentrating on him. He's concentrating on them. You get the idea. It's like, hey, guys, are you okay this morning? Something's wrong. You don't have your normal countenance. Are you okay? Is there something I can do to help you? That just strikes me like it's conviction. I think I'd be thinking about somebody else, you know, probably namely me, you know, instead of worrying about somebody else. Well, what are you sad for? You ought to be in my place. You're supposed to be here, you scoundrel. I'm not even supposed to be here. I mean, you know, it's like, but he's not doing that. Look at verse 8. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Once again, Joseph gives the credit to God. It would have been easy to be a self-promoter there. Hey, guys, let me tell you. I can tell you about your dream. I got this talent, see? And by the way, it may be useful to Pharaoh, so won't you mention to him? It's not what he says. Interpretations belong to God. When he gets out of jail eventually and appears before Pharaoh, he does the same thing. Pharaoh says, I understand you can interpret dreams. He says, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer. Again, a great opportunity for him to say, hey, yeah, amen, you could use me on your staff. Obviously, these other guys can't interpret dreams. You wouldn't be calling me out of jail, right? That's not what he does. Amazing. And he credits God with that. He was not so shallow up. He was not so swallowed up in his own trouble as to be blind to the signs of another's sorrow or slow to try to comfort. Grief is apt to make us selfish, but it is meant to make us tender of heart and quick of hand to help our fellows in calamity. God brings things in our hearts. He brings things in our lives so that we can be sensitive to other people. You may not even recognize some particular event taking place until you go through it. And then all of a sudden your antenna's up. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, what about this particular thing? Obviously, I got to spend Mother's Day with my mom. But she didn't get to spend Mother's Day with her mom. And I actually got to visit my grandmother's grave. I had not, since I preached the funeral, which has almost been 3 years ago now. But it was a great joy to be there. But my mom had a different emotion on Mother's Day. She was glad that my brother and I were there, but she's still missing her mom. There's a sensitivity there to that, to the ladies who didn't have their moms with them or the people who didn't have their moms with them. And God brings these things to our minds so that we can be sensitive to other people. So many times we want to concentrate on that. We want to concentrate on our own sorrow. And God says, hey, I comforted you so that you could be comforted. Well, that's a side product, yes, but why did he comfort us? So that we can comfort others in that process. God's not wasting anything. He's bringing us to a point where every little thing he adds to our ability and our story to make us who God wants us to be. So everything that you've got, and even some of you have been through some incredibly difficult things, but it's all part of what God wants to do to teach you so that you can better to minister to people. There are things that you could minister to that we never could because we haven't gone through it. And not to say there's not biblical truth there, but you have a unique perspective because of what God's brought you through. So are you concentrating on you, or are you looking for others who are hurting? Boy, there's a lot of people hurting out there. If we just take the time to minister to them. Number four, we see the story. So the guys unfold their story. Okay, well, if you're going to pull up a stool and sit down, we'll tell you our dream. So the butler unfolds his dream for us, and he says, well, there was a vine, and on the vine there was three branches, and it budded, and blossoms and grapes came out, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I squeezed the grapes in the cup, and I have no idea. And Joseph's like, makes perfect sense. You are going to be restored to your position. You're going to give the cup to Pharaoh. It's going to happen in 3 days. Everything's going to be just great. Man, I like that. The baker's like, yeah, good. I had a very similar dream. It was my expertise. I mean, I'm a baker, you know. Hello, the baker. And you didn't think he did something else, did you? Just wondering if you're paying attention to me tonight or not. Yeah, you are. Thanks, Dale. So the baker's like, okay, well, I had bread in a basket. And by the way, there were three baskets. And so this is 3 days and something's going to happen to me. Yeah, well, it is. Joseph's like, Pharaoh's going to lift up your head too, but not in the exact way you'd like for him to. You're actually going to be hung in 3 days. I'm sure that wasn't easy for Joseph to do, but in the midst of this story, when he tells the butler, by the way, you're going to be restored, this is when he tells his story. He says, verse 14, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So he says, look, fellas, or look, butler, when you leave here, I'm not even from this country, and I'm not even supposed to be in jail. Now, Brother Eric never hears that. Everybody in jail's guilty, right, Brother Eric? Now, most of them are innocent, you know. But this guy had not spent a lot of time in jail, and Joseph actually was telling the truth here. He makes an appeal, and they tell their story, and we know what happens. Exactly as Joseph predicted comes true. Whenever we meet others' needs, make sure that the credit goes to God. Whenever we're able to minister to other people, give credit to God. Joseph didn't say, well, I'm glad I could help you. No. God interprets dreams. Don't try to steal his credit. Give it to him. Well, God brought me through this story. I could share with you because I know what you've gone through. We see number five, the significance. What happens in verse 20? It came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. Don't you love how the Bible throws in little details to those things? To me, it's just intriguing how the Lord kind of throws little things in there. That he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler into his butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. So exactly what Joseph said came true. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. What? Again, if the story ended there, we would all be going, what? How could you do that? You can't forget the guy. Every time he lifted that cup up, don't you think he had to remember Joseph? I mean, I'm here because this guy predicted that this is exactly what would happen. And after all, he's got to have some kind of power. Now, I'm not saying that they understood it was God power, but boy, they revered people who could interpret dreams. I mean, they were powerful people in the kingdom of Egypt. So even from that standpoint, you would think that he would want to give Joseph the credit. Totally forgets him. Our hope is in God, not in man. Joseph couldn't place his strength, his hope in the man, because men can disappoint you. Men will disappoint you. His hope was in the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this. As I worked through this passage of Scripture, I thought, man, what a scoundrel, you know? Come on, man, how can you forget him, you know? I wonder what would have happened had the butler actually remembered and told Pharaoh about Joseph. I don't know. So please, I'm not trying to add to the Bible here. I'm just speculating. He didn't need Joseph. Who was Joseph? He was a slave. He was a slave of who? Well, of Potiphar. Well, Potiphar was the guy in charge of all the prison system. If he felt like Joseph needed to be in jail, I'm sure he needed to be in jail. Even if he had let him out, even if he would have said, okay, hey, he did you a turn, go tell him he can go home. Do you recognize how the story would have changed? Even though from the butler standpoint, he's pretty low to forget Joseph. From God's standpoint, he was going to bring that to mind exactly when it was most opportune. He was going to have that butler remember Joseph at exactly the precise time when not only Pharaoh, but the entire world needed Joseph. The whole world needed Joseph. So God was orchestrating all these pieces together. And we can see that. But Joseph couldn't. Not at least through his regular eyes. He could see it by faith. But boy, wouldn't that take a lot of faith? I mean, honestly, day after day after day after day after day after day after day, you're thinking, and not only has the butler forgotten me, but the dreams that I had now, 13 years ago, pushing that at least, maybe longer, are on the ash heap. How in the world am I going to go from has-been prison guy to where my brothers are going to bow down to me? I mean, from this standpoint, from Joseph's standpoint, there's no way this is going to happen. But God's clicking was happening. It was all working to exactly the timing that Joseph needed. And by the time he gets out of prison, and by the time he interprets for Pharaoh, the world was set for him. You know, Joseph is a great picture. We've said this often. Joseph is a great picture of our Lord. It's interesting even to look at some of these guys, how two people were there in jail with Joseph, and one was freed and the other was killed, and the whole picture of the cross. And I mean, we could go on and on and on, the pictures that Joseph gives for us. The New Testament tells us that in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son. We could pick all kinds of times when it would have been perfect for God to come into the world. I mean, you could make some arguments that today would be a better time than then. Because after all, the media and the opportunity of the internet and all that, I mean, nobody would be without that story, right? I mean, the whole world in a matter of seconds could hear that story. Wouldn't that be a better time? See, God always operates on His own time schedule. God knows exactly what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's doing in Joseph's life. He knows exactly what He's doing in your life. He knows exactly what He's doing in my life. Even when it's really, really dark. Okay, Lord, I can't see. Lord, are You still there? Have You forgotten about me? What's going on, Lord? I haven't seen my family for all these years. God, You promised me. You gave me a dream. Lord, it was as real as if I were standing here. Lord, what are You doing? I am very confident Joseph had those times. Yet the Bible says he believed by faith that God knew what He was doing. Now what just blows my mind about Joseph is it didn't matter where he was consistent in character. He trusted God just as much in the palace as he did in the prison. That's why he could say to his brothers, whoa, time out, guys. Hey, don't worry about it. You think You sent me to Egypt? You didn't send me to Egypt. God sent me to Egypt. He sent me to preserve you. He sent me to preserve the world. Everything is perfectly fine. God was in complete control, and I can trust Him. You guys, don't worry about it. What a great attitude. What a great attitude. Can you imagine? Again, maybe I'm crazy, but I love to see some of these stories. And the Bible doesn't say this, so please don't walk out of here and say, Pastor Ogle said that. Can you imagine the first time the butler saw Joseph? I mean, maybe he saw him as Joseph is getting cleaned up and changing clothes because the Bible says he does that to get to Pharaoh. Maybe he comes in there and goes, hey, man, just want you to know, I did finally remember. That's why you're here, is because I told Pharaoh about you. You know, I mean, I don't know what he said to him. And in just a few minutes, he's going to be working for Joseph. I hope he said something to him, right? Because you're like, ooh. But even that, we don't have anything that Joseph retaliates. He doesn't retaliate against Potiphar or his wife. We have nothing ever recorded about that. What an amazing man he was. Father, thank You that we can trust You in the dark. Wow, how we need that. Lord, how I needed this. Just today as I worked through this passage of Scripture and working through something in my own mind, just about halfway through, I thought, this message is not for my people tonight. This is for me. I needed this. Thank You, Lord, for those reminders from Scripture. We love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.